Knock, knock. Who's there? Your nightmare.
Welcome back, Creepaholics crew, to another spine-chilling episode that will give you goosebumps. Grab your flashlights, lock those doors, and let's deep dive into the mysterious narrative of the Tylenol Killer's sinister tale. From the unsuspecting investigation of tainted capsules to the eerie aftermath that left a nation paralyzed with fear. The chilling plot begins with 12-year-old Mary Kellerman's unwritten intake of extra-strength Tylenol to combat cold, setting off a chain of tragedies. The nightmare depended on her brother, Adam Janis, fell victim to the poison, initiating a cascade of death that claimed the lives of Stanley, Teresa, and Mary Rayner, along with others. As panic seized the nation, investigators embarked on a relentless quest. The revelation that cyanide-laced capsules strategically infiltrated store shelves after distribution shattered the illusion of safety. The meticulous examination of tampered Tylenol bottles exposed the killer's chilling sophistication in opening, poisoning, and resealing the capsules, leaving no visible trace of tampering. The consequences were profound: a nationwide Tylenol recall and the introduction of a tampered evidence seals marked a shift in consumer trust and product packaging practices. But the shadow of the Tylenol Killer saga extended beyond the immediate aftermath. The Chicago Tylenol murders, with at least 7 lives lost, remains an unsolved mystery. While James William Lewis, convicted of extortion with a person of interest, his guilt remains disputed. Another figure, Ronald Arnold, connected by circumstances, faced scrutiny, was never charged. 21st century investigations, including DNA testing, cast a renewed spotlight on the case, yet the identity of the Tylenol killer eludes justice. In the aftermath, the nation witnessed a wave of copycat attacks, spreading fear and mistrust over the counter medications. The Tylenol crisis prompted Johnson & Johnson's explanatory crisis management, leading to industry-wide changes in packaging and heightened security measures. The pharmaceutical landscape forever altered shifted towards tamper-resistant packaging and the replacement of capsules with tampered evident caplets. As the chilling saga unfolded during October 1982, the nation grappled with fear of poisoned Halloween candy, showcasing the lasting impact of the Tylenol killer on the American conscious. But let's dig deeper, Creepaholics crew. The police investigation unveiled the chilling method behind the murders. The tainted capsules came from 2 different manufacturing locations, suggesting tampering after recalled store shelves. The hunt for the suspects led to James William Lewis, who demanded $1 million from Johnson & Johnson but never faced charges directly related to the poisonings. Another suspect, Ronald Arnold, with a dark history and connections, evaded charges but left a trail of suspicion. In the 21st century, renewed efforts unfolded. The investigation from the FBI revisited the case in 2009, searching Lewis's home and collecting DNA samples from him and Arnold. Despite the advancements in forensic technology, the mystery endured. Even the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, came under scrutiny in 2011, adding another layer to the web of potential suspects. Copycats emerged not only in tampering with Tylenol, but in various products, spreading chaos and fear. The repercussions reached beyond the imminent crisis, touching other medications and even resulting in the recall of Procter & Gamble's Incaprin, I'm gonna pronounce that wrong, I'm so sorry guys. The aftermath also saw tragic events like the death of Diane Esleroth in Yonkers, New York from cyanide-laced Tylenol capsules. Now let's turn to Lady Johnson & Johnson's response. Initially praised for his transparent and swift actions, the aftermath brought forth legal changes. Despite the positive coverage for its handling of the crisis, Johnson & Johnson faced a complex legal and financial battleground. Legal battles unfolded over insurance claims with McNeil Laboratories, a Johnson & Johnson subsidiary, submitting a claim for the cost of the recall, which was initially denied. In 1991, Johnson & Johnson agreed to settle for an undisclosed sum, all lawsuits against it for the original Chicago area deaths. Robert Kniff, a spokesman for Johnson & Johnson, stated that though there is no way we could have anticipated a criminal tampering with our product or prevented it, we wanted to do something for the families and finally get this tragedy event behind us. The crisis management response, taught today as a model of corporate public relations and chiefly credited to the public relations executed Harold Burson. However, the financial aftermath lingered in the courtrooms, heightened the enduring challenges faced by a company caught in the crossfire of a horrific crime. And as we reach the end of this spine-chilling episode, let's unveil an additional layer of this horror. The Halloween incident. In 1985, Professor Joel Best published a research paper investigating claims of Halloween sadism since 1958. He concluded that every report of a razor blade or pin or antacid or poison found in Halloween candy turned out to be a hoax perpetrated by kids or adults. In Best's words, he was unable to find a subsequently report of childs being killed or seriously injured by a contaminated treat picked up in the course of trick-or-treating. Tragically, the only confirmed report of a child being poisoned and killed by a piece of Halloween candy was the case of Timothy O'Brien, an 8-year-old from Texas who had died after eating Halloween candy laced with cyanide. The murder wasn't a creepy neighbor, but sadly, Timothy's own father, who killed the boy in order to cash in on an insurance policy. The father was convicted and given the death penalty. The Halloween incident, a grim epilogue to the Tylenol Killer saga, further underscores the lasting impact of these horrifying events on the collective conscience. So I guess it's up to you. Do you believe that the Tylenol Killer may have been the two suspects? Do you believe it was a random act of terrorism? Or do you just believe it was a freak accident? Will we ever know? Let me know, Creepaholics crew, as we conclude this episode. Keep those flashlights ready, stay on the edge of your seats, and keep creeping it real. Goodbye for now.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Your nightmare.